Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been thinking together over a long period of time concerning the work of the Holy Spirit and what He does in our lives and in the world today. In the beginning messages, in fact in the first half of this series of messages, we considered many of these different passages of Scripture dealing with the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and we considered them from a very general standpoint. Exactly what we could look for, what we could expect, how the Spirit might help us in our lives. We spent a great deal of time, for instance, in John 14, 15, and 16, and we examined very carefully the 10 different ministries of the Holy Spirit there. We talked a little bit about victory through the Holy Spirit. We talked a little bit about the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, in this part of our study, I want to go more deeply into some of these special ministries of the Holy Spirit. And I want to deal with the way that the Holy Spirit deals with us in our lives and in the assembly of believers. And we're going to look a little bit deeply into some of these subjects. I've chosen five or six different subjects that we're going to be considering, and it will take a little bit of time to discuss these subjects. So these ministries of the Holy Spirit are important in our lives, and we want to examine them more deeply. Now, the one that we're considering now is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk in the world and in church life. We introduced this in the last message. We pointed out some of the dangers we face, some of the ways we need to guard ourselves. We even mentioned some of the false teaching in our day. And so I want to examine this with you in this message and in the ones to come a little bit deeply so that we see exactly what do the Scriptures teach concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, this subject of gifts is a very popular subject. Some churches, in fact, dwell extensively on this subject of the gifts of the Spirit, and they might even admit that sometimes they neglect other subjects simply to dwell on this subject. But it is a very important subject. We want to consider it. Today, I want to look with you at some of the passages of Scripture besides 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. I want to look with you at some of the passages of Scripture which deal with the subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As I study the Scriptures, there are four main passages dealing with this subject. First of all, there is Romans 12, verses 3 to 8. And then the passage with which we're most familiar is 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And I want to examine these with you in this period of time that we have in this broadcast. I want to look down concerning the gifts themselves and then some of the purposes for these gifts, and then how we can apply these gifts to our own lives. And then we'll be looking further a little bit later. First of all, let's take Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. In this passage, we find a number of different gifts mentioned. First of all, prophecy, then service, then teaching, then exhorting, then giving, then leading, and then showing mercy. Now, this only takes about five or six verses for him to list these gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize again that the Corinthian church had deep problems with these gifts, but the Roman church apparently did not. In other words, he was simply giving the list of these gifts and a brief explanation of them to encourage these believers to go on with the Lord, to show them that we have the gifts of the Spirit. These gifts bring unity, they bring harmony, and so forth, and so they were to go on with the Lord. And so it was not a problem, church, and the list is very brief. Now, there were purposes for him giving the gifts in Romans chapter 12. First of all, for the unity of the body of believers. How important this is, the unity of the body of believers. This question of unity is going to be stressed many, many times. You'll notice that you read in the Gospel of John, when you read in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, that the Lord Jesus emphasizes unity and harmony in many of the points in his prayer to the Father. when he's praying to the Father. He is emphasizing a number of things, but unity is one of the main things he emphasizes. Now, the second thing that's mentioned in Romans chapter 12 has to do with service to the body of believers, how believers can serve one another. And this is a very important truth, because all of us are to have servant attitudes in our walk with the Lord and in our walk with each other. We are to serve each other, and we're to have this attitude in the way we treat each other and everything. So service is very important in this study from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. Let me just mention, and I think I've mentioned this in a previous series of messages, and that is that in chapter 13 of John, the Lord Jesus puts the entire emphasis of that chapter upon the idea of service, where he himself had served the disciples, and then they were to follow his example. Now, the second passage of Scripture, of course, is the one with which we're most familiar, and that is 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. In this passage, there are a number of different gifts of the Spirit listed, and we'll be discussing these at great length a little bit later. First of all, there's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, the gifts of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of distinguishing of spirits, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of the prophets, the teachers, and then the gift of helps, and the gift of administration. Now, these gifts, as it's indicated here in these passages, in these three chapters, these gifts, first of all, were for the common good and the edification of the body of believers. The common good and the edification of the body of believers. In other words, the believers in the Corinthian church were to serve each other, they were to work for the common good, and anything which was not done for the edification of the other believers was not to be done at all. It is also here, these gifts are also here, for exhortation and for the consolation of the members of the body of believers. In other words, they were to encourage each other, and they were to exhort each other. They were to sometimes correct each other in the use of these gifts. And this was to be done in love. It was to be done in a manner that was tender and loving and caring, but nevertheless, it was to be done. Now, the third group of gifts is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. And I notice that these gifts are mainly leadership gifts. In other words, the other gifts mentioned in Romans and in 1 Corinthians are not mostly mentioned, although prophecy is mentioned in the book of Romans. But these gifts are leadership gifts, the gift of apostles, the gift of prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, the purpose of these gifts, and we'll be examining these a little bit later, why were these gifts given, and what did they have to do with the body of believers? But mainly we can see that these gifts were given to bring unity in the body of believers. That was the first purpose of these gifts, to bring unity. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, that we maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then it was all for the equipping of the saints. We'll be examining this later. But the leaders were to equip the saints so that they could participate in ministry. And then these gifts were given for the building up of the body of believers, to build them up in the Christian faith, to build them up in their stand for the Lord and in other ways. And then finally, for the growth of the body. It was God's desire that the group of believers be multiplied. Other people would be reached, and so the growth of the body was also very important. Now, there's one other passage I want to touch on, and then I want to draw several observations concerning these. The other passage is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, and there are only two of the gifts mentioned in that passage of Scripture. First of all, the gift of speaking, and then the gift of serving. And so the main purpose of the gifts there, it's a very, very brief mention of the gifts of the Spirit. But the purpose of these gifts is simply for working together and serving one another. Working together and serving one another. Now let me make several observations concerning the gifts and the lists that are given here. I'll just make these brief observations before we go on. Although there did not seem to be any spiritual problems concerning these gifts in the other churches like Rome and Ephesus and then the ones to whom Peter was writing, there weren't spiritual problems, but nevertheless they needed clear teaching on the subject. But according to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians that is, chapter 14, and the entire chapter in fact, these gifts were being seriously misused by the believers in the Corinthian church. Now, this was not present, I want to be fair, in the other churches, but they were being misused by the believers in Corinth. They were using them in every possible wrong way. They were destroying the original purpose of these gifts. They were bringing shame to the name of the Lord Jesus. There was confusion in their use. There was competition with each other's in their use. And people who were not even authorized to use some of these gifts were using them in that mixed assembly of believers. And so this was a problem in the Corinthian church, but it does not seem to have been a problem in the others. We also note that in this total list of the gifts, in these four different passages, some of the gifts, especially those mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, had purposes that were limited to that day and age. And therefore, those gifts would pass away before the end of that first century. These gifts were known as the sign gifts. They were necessary in that day when the preaching of the gospel was still in its beginning stages, and also there was no written New Testament. Now, we will be discussing this later when we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13. So I don't want to go any further with this now. Now, another thing that we note in this list, and that is that the gift of apostleship mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:11. In Ephesians, of course, they're dealing with the subject of the gifts to leaders. But this gift of apostleship would not continue once the last of the apostles, John, died very late in the first century. That was a special and limited office given only to a few men, including the Apostle Paul. It had special purposes in that day, and when the last of the apostles died, those purposes had ended. We also note that the gift of miracles, which was the ability to lay hands on people and miraculously heal them, was specifically called one of the sign gifts of a true apostle in 2 Corinthians 12:12. The remaining gifts, however, mentioned in these passages are mostly still given by the Holy Spirit to members of the body of Christ. And these are important in the relationships that we Christians have in the body of Christ. These gifts are the ones that the Spirit bestows when people have been genuinely saved and are prepared to take their place in the body of believers. In various societies, various people, unsaved people, imitated some of these gifts, but their imitations are not of God and have no relationship whatsoever to the work of the Holy Spirit. We also note, both in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, that believers have differing gifts, and we're going to be speaking a little bit about this, and that one gift is not better or more valuable in the body of believers than another. Neither is a believer who uses a gift better than another believer in the body of believers. There is no basis for pride or arrogance when the Holy Spirit bestows such differing gifts in the body of Christ. And even some gifts may seem smaller and less significant than others, but they are still important to God. So I want to leave with you this list from these four different passages. And you may study these passages a little bit yourselves. In fact, I would advise you to look into this in your own personal walk with the Lord, and consider how these gifts may apply to your lives as we get further and further into this subject. The main thing about this is that the Holy Spirit was at work and is at work in our day, and He wants us to have the gifts of the Spirit, to have them fully, according to His will, of course, and according to His Word, to have them fully and to exercise them to the glory and the praise of God. And this would be my prayer for each of you as you consider how God wants to use these gifts in your lives. My prayer would be that you might find the gifts that are truly taught in the Scriptures, not the ones which have passed away, but the ones which are still present in our day, and that you might find the gift that belongs to you, and then to the glory of God, and for the building up of the body of believers, you might use that gift with all your heart and with all your life, and do it as to the Lord. Dedicate that gift completely to the Lord, and be happy and contented with it, and follow the Lord Jesus with all your heart. May the Lord bless you, each one.